Blog Talk Radio.
When you walk through the garden, you gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, He's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at His command. Well, you don't have to worry. Hold on to Jesus' hand, we'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here on the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. Today's date, August 8th, 2011. We're here in beautiful Washington, D.C., United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. You know, I'm feeling pretty down today, all weekend long. And, of course, when I'm feeling down and I'm feeling low, I turn to tried and true method of renewing my spirit, bringing me back to life, renewing my faith. I turn to what says it's going to be all right. And I think you know what I'm talking about. I think you understand. I'm talking about Rick Astley's greatest hits. I'm talking about Kenny Loggins' Back to Pooh Corner. I'm talking about Kenny Loggins' Rainbow Connection. Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Well, rainbows are visions. They're only illusions. Rainbows have nothing to hide. And so on. And that lifts my spirits, brings me back, because I remember back as a small child listening to Kermit the Frog sitting in a rowboat in the middle of some lake. Miss Piggy had just thrown him over. He was feeling kind of blue. And so he sat in the evening sky as dusk approached. You could see the stars sort of twinkling in the sky just a little bit. You people who live out in the country, like me, know what I'm talking about. And Kermit was kind of looking at his reflection, hideous as it is, in the water, thinking about Miss Piggy and singing the Rainbow Connection. And somehow it made him feel better. So when I heard the news about the being downgraded, well, of course, in the midst of my despair, I turned to Rainbow Connection. I could not find Kermit's version. So I took the next best thing, Kenny Loggins, Back to Pooh Corner, and Kenny Loggins' Rainbow Connection. I felt so much better, but that doesn't help, because now some of our greatest fears as conservatives have come true. S&P has downgraded the United States of America. For the first time in our history, we don't have triple AA1 credit. We're down to AA plus. Now, in August last year, I put out a list of the 10 reasons why the Obama presidency would be in serious decline, or was in serious decline. So now tonight, with the help of one of my favorite news organizations, we're going to break down the sequel to that blog talk radio show. We're going to talk about America's serious decline, along with Barack Hussein Obama's serious decline, which was one of the most widely listened to shows on Blog Talk Radio for me. Well, 12 months on, the outlook continues to look exceedingly bleak for President Obama, with no sign of recovery. And thank goodness for that. But at what cost to us, the citizen? What cost to us, conservatives? What cost to us who love America? Barack Obama has made a mess of things. He has turned himself into Jimmy Carter times 10. But at what cost to the United States of America do we owe this tragic downfall? Did we want, like my man Rush Limbaugh said, we wanted President Obama to fail? Did we want him to fail? Hell yeah. But did we want him to take the United States of America down with him? No. The answer is no. We did not. Just this July just happened to be the worst month for the Obama presidency since the November midterms, which saw his party emphatically smacked down. In the congressional elections across the country, Barack Obama was smacked around like that. The president hit an all-time low with a Gallup poll at the end of the month, this month, giving him just 40% approval rating. Now, with his rating among independents plummeting to just 34%. Dude is in a free fall. And I love it. But once again, there's a cost associated with this free fall. It's called our country's credit rating, our country's solvency. So many countries out there, China, Saudi Arabia. I mean, I could go on. North Korea. They're licking their chops right now. They're loving every minute of this. The United States of America is in a free fall. And Barack Obama just took off for another fundraiser. Was golfing this weekend. Would Bill Clinton even do this? Would Bill Clinton even be so brazen as to golf the weekend of a downgrade of this magnitude? I hardly think so. Because even though I wouldn't trust Bill Clinton with my daughter, my dog, certainly not my wallet or my watch, if I shook his hand, I'd pull my hand back and check to see if I still had my fingers and my nails, my fingernails. But Bill Clinton, as lazy and slobbering and whorish as he was, he loved America. Not even he would pull something off like what Obama did this weekend and today, heading off to yet another fundraiser. The outlook has become even worse at the start of this month, August, with dramatic falls in the stock market and with Standard & Poor's downgrading America's debt. At the latest Real Clear Politics average of polls shows less than a quarter of Americans believe the country is moving in the right direction, a damning indictment of the first 30 months of the Obama presidency. According to Rasmussen, that figure is as low as 14%, the lowest level of public confidence since November 2008. Now, we've gone ahead and outlined 10 key reasons why the Obama presidency, continues to flounder after a very short-lived bounce after the bin Laden takedown. Now, if you have some of your own, please do call in 347-884-8500. I'd like to know what your thoughts are. Meanwhile, let's take a look back to Jimmy Carter's malaise speech, because Obama continues to give a very similar speech. So let's take a look back and dig Jimmy Carter's free fall, because we can pinpoint right now, in hindsight, the very moment, the very day that Jimmy Carter should have started packing his bags, headed back to Plains. And this was the moment right here and now. Listen to it.
It is a crisis of confidence.
Our economy may be weakened and our confidence shaken.
Our people are losing that faith.
It's tempting to turn cynical and to be doubtful about the future.
The people are looking for honest answers, not easy answers.
We cannot rely on quick fixes or easy answers.
Not politics as usual.
We are tired of business as usual.
You often see a balanced approach that demands sacrifice.
A balanced way where...
It is a crisis of confidence.
Our economy may be weakened and our confidence shaken.
Our people are losing that faith.
Tempting to turn cynical and to be doubtful about the future.
The people are looking for honest answers, not easy answers.
We cannot rely on quick fixes or easy answers.
Not politics as usual.
We are tired of business as usual.
You often see a balanced approach that demands sacrifice.
A balanced way where everybody's sacrificing a little bit.
A little sacrifice from everyone.
We need shared sacrifice.
Congress must enact the windfall profits tax without delay.
If the wealthiest among us are willing to give up a little bit more, then we can solve this problem.
I'm asking you to take no unnecessary trips.
Don't blow a bunch of cash on Vegas.
To use carpools or public transportation whenever you can.
We can't drive our SUVs.
And to set your thermostats to save fuel.
We can't keep our homes on 72 degrees at all times.
I do not promise a quick way out of our nation's problems.
I wish I could tell you there was a quick fix to our economic problems.
There are no short-term solutions.
There aren't going to be a lot of great short-term solutions to this problem.
There is simply no way to avoid sacrifice.
We are going to have to ask everybody to sacrifice.
All right. I think we have some issues here, but we're all done having some Skype issues. But hey, let me tell you something. This is why Ayn Rand is shrugging right now, because of what we're talking about here. Now, you know that I am a big proponent, a big fan of Ayn Rand and the books, The Fountainhead, and of course, Atlas Shrugged. Atlas is shrugging right here and right now. This is what Ayn Rand talked about back in 1957. And for those of you who are not familiar with Ayn Rand's book, The Fountainhead, and also Atlas Shrugged, and a new book that's out called I'm John Galt, check them out, really. I mean, I'm not getting paid for any of this. I'm not getting paid to talk about Ayn Rand's books. I simply would like for you to just listen to an audio book when you're driving in your car, you know, or going to work or wherever you're going, or get the hardcover, and read just a little bit of it. And you'll see that eerily, ironically, everything that was written in that book is actually happening with this administration in this time. And I find that to be eerily eerie. All right, so now let's move on. Obama's issues. Now, if you have similar issues with Obama that you think is harming his reelection campaign that I have missed here, please do call in 347-884-8500. Obama isn't trusted on the economy. That's number one. And a series of recent polls have demonstrated significant public discontent with President Obama on the economy. The number one issue for U.S. voters. It's the number one issue. Citing a Washington Post and ABC News survey in late July, reported that 57% of Americans disapprove of Obama's handling of the economy, 60% disapprove of the handling of the federal budget deficit, and 52% are unhappy with the president on job creation. Now, a July 21 poll for Gallup showed that U.S. economic confidence plunging to its lowest level since March 2009, with just 26% of Americans saying the economy is getting better. According to Gallup, though, more than two-thirds of Americans now say the economy is getting worse. Now, the last Rasmussen survey shows consumer confidence just 1 point above the lowest level of the last 2 years, with investor confidence down 9 points from a week ago. Down to 12 points from a month ago and down 29 points from 3 months ago. And investor confidence has not been this low since March 13, 2009. Obama and the driving the car in the ditch thing isn't working out. Obama and the blame George Bush thing is not working for him. And even today, even Fox News, my favorite channel, which I watch, I have it on while I'm sleeping, folks. I'm laying here in my home office. A lot of times I'll just kind of crash in here. I won't even go into the other rooms or the master bedroom. And I got Fox News on here. Even Fox News today gave Barack Obama the benefit of the doubt when they said that, he's going to come up and he's going to talk, but we don't expect the president to play the blame game, because this is serious business right now. And Obama, we expect that the president's going to come out. He's going to talk about the problem. He's going to talk about how we're going to fix it. Wow, what optimism. How beautiful was it? No, it wasn't beautiful at all. First thing President Obama came out and did was blame other folks, Congress, the weather. Dog ate his homework. All kinds of stuff. The dude went on to blaming. He went back to blaming other people. How amazing. He just can't help himself. Number two on our list, Obama isn't serious about the budget deficit. That's certainly the opinion of credit agency Standard & Poor's, which downgraded America. We had AAA for the first time in 70 years, folks. But like my man Rush Limbaugh said, could this be all pre-planned? Rush said that this was all a planned event. This is what was supposed to go down. It was supposed to happen just this way. And we're going to talk about what Rush had to say about this after we come back from these brief, brief messages. Oh my goodness. We'll be right back.
Good morning, January 20th, 2017, the last day of Barack Obama's 8 years as president.
8 tough years for many as unemployment continues climbing.
With debt to China reaching record levels, some analysts believe the Chinese have overtaken the United States.
8 years ago, we were promised hope. Today, many believe their American dream has been lost.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders Fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
We are Freedom Media Alliance. Freedom and entertainment defined. Find us on the web at freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
Freedom Media Alliance, check out my guys. GGT, Cool Mike, 11:30 every single night. Not that they need my help promoting their fine show, considering they're consistently on page one and I'm relegated to page two. Well, I'm not going to go ahead and complain about that. No sour grapes here. No envy. Not me. I have no ego to speak of. Okie dokie. Yes, at the beginning of the show, I said that when I heard about the news, when I heard the news that this great country had been downgraded by Standard & Poor's. I fell into malaise, despair. I was even a bit fearful. Yep. And as I stated earlier, as I admitted, as I opened up, I said, in times like these, I turn to what comforts me. I turn to what comforts me, what brings me solace, what grounds me. I turn to what we all should turn to in times of trouble, in times of despair and doubt. Rick Astley, never going to give you up, never going to let you down, never going to run around and hurt you, never going to make you cry, and so on. And then I turn to Kenny Loggins, Rainbow Connection, and back to Pooh Corner. These things take me back to my childhood, to similar times. Rick Astley, well, I just like Rick Astley. But hey, I felt better. Not much better, but a little better. So, on with the show. My main man, Rush Limbaugh. I've been listening to Rush since 1988. When he had a show in California, his first real gig when he was just doing nothing but talking, 1988. I've been a Rush fan ever since. I went on Rush to Excellence tours. I even attended some of the tapings of his short stint as a radio on television. He had a television program. I don't know if any of you remember that. I followed Rush when he was 360 pounds. I've got Rush to Excellence memorabilia all over the place. I've even got some really fine silk Rush Limbaugh No Boundaries ties that he doesn't even sell anymore. Michael Savage has quite a few listeners, and I like Michael Savage as well. But Rush is the man, and here's why. Rush starts off, I'm going to read a little bit from the transcript here, and see if you agree. Rush says, does anybody now doubt that this is on purpose? I mean, after all, Barack Obama inherits AAA, AAA credit rating from George W. Bush, and look at what he does with it. Obama is always running around complaining and whining and moaning about all that he inherited from George W. Bush. Well, he inherited a AAA credit rating, an unemployment rate of 5.7%. Does anybody doubt that this is on purpose? And then he goes on to say, well, look, my credit rating doesn't suck. There's a lot of individual Americans whose credit ratings aren't in trouble. The United States has never been in this position. And the next thing that's going to happen is that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and others are going to be downgraded. And as we see, that's exactly what happened. Rush is the man. What are the Democrats doing, Rush goes on to say. Blaming the referees. Blaming Standard & Poor's. That always changes the outcome, doesn't it? Blame the refs. You people in Seattle, the Seahawks, Super Bowl 2005, Steelers, blame the refs. Last time I looked, the Steelers still won the game. So go ahead and blame Standard & Poor's all you want, Democrats. Now they're blaming the military. Barney Frank's blaming the military. Rumsfeld was on our D.C. affiliate this morning, WMAL. You know, our military spending is 4%. Of GDP right now, just 4%. The military spending is 4%. During the Eisenhower administration in the 50s, post-World War II defense spending was 10% of GDP. Today, it's only 4%. And Barney Frank and the Democrats are trying to say it's the military's fault that we've been downgraded. And he goes on and on. Now, my man Rick, My man Rush says that Obama has had this all planned from Jump Street. It is true that Obama has inherited a bit of a mess left by my man and not Cool Mike's George W. Bush. Mike says that Bush is a moron, not very bright, not a very smart man. The deal is, though, that just before Bush left office, unemployment was at 5.7%. We had a AAA rating still. But hey, we're talking about the stunning decline of Barack Hussein Obama right now. And why Atlas is shrugging. We're going to go ahead and take your call. I have a call on the line at 616-616. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report.
Hey, Doc. It's Cool Mike.
Mike, my main man. Where you been, guy?
Oh, happy to be on your show again. I miss everybody.
Glad.
Well, I do miss everyone.
Where have you been?
Well, I've been violating every single union standard that I stand for in the worker code. Sadly, I had, I got a new job in the Detroit area, and just the whole staff wasn't working out, so I basically had to replace everybody and start over. And so I've been back, but just here and there. So I've got that straightened out, and hopefully now I'll have more time to come on everybody's show and bother them like I used to.
Right, right. Are you still doing the show with GDT? I can't stay awake. I mean, I keep trying.
Well, yeah, but you're in bed by then. We always see your name. But
well,
I don't know. You don't call us anymore. Maybe you don't like us or something.
No, that's not possible.
You know, Doc, I'm gonna give a plug for your boy George Bush. He's been gone 3 years. You only can blame your predecessor so long before you have to take the reign for yourself.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike. Here's my issue. I have been functioning in leadership roles in some capacity, at some even rudimentary level, since I was 17. I learned, and this is not something that one needs to learn, really, not to blame anybody else. You don't do that. I mean, I learned from Harry Truman that the buck stops here. I mean, you just don't blame. I mean, it's just not. It's not even manly, least of all a presidential, you know, or leadership like. It just isn't manly to go ahead and blame anybody else when you're the one in charge. Now, blame all you want when the other guy's in charge and you want to take his job. You know. But not when you're the man. I find it very difficult as a man to blame someone else for why my job isn't going well. What about you? Would you, if you were the assistant manager of a general manager of a nightclub, and you saw that things weren't going right, but then you got the job, and then for the first 6 months of your tenure, Mike, well, things weren't really changing all that well. What would you say? Would you say, hey, I'm going to get this done, I'm going to fix this problem? Or are you going to say, hey, well, you know what, I inherited a mess from the other guy. That guy was the one who made all the errors. He's the one, who got us into this mess. I'm just trying to dig us out. What would you say, Mike? Really, be honest with us. We're right here and now.
Well, let me draw a better analogy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there 3 years. He took over a team that was basically 5-5. We weren't in the gutter, but we also weren't headed anywhere. So instead of going 5-5 in his first year, we went 0-10. Second year, 0-10. Third year, we 0-11. Even though we only had 10 games, he even managed to. Barack Obama is just a failure in every aspect. There, other than drawing us closer to collapse, he has done nothing but blame everybody, not just George Bush, but he was the guy who was complaining we're in too many wars. Well, guess what? We're in a couple more now, and I don't know if you saw this, but what's this? Gaddafi's guys took back like a huge city just this morning. So obviously that's failing. And in many aspects, I tried to give Barack Obama the benefit of the doubt because I detested George Bush so much. But you can only deny so much before you open your eyes and see what's truly happening under this absolutely miserable socialist.
Yeah.
And well, his loyalty does not lie with the United States, period. Now, I say this, Doc, based on facts, not because I dislike George Bush. If you – I don't listen to politicians. I look at how they vote. I don't listen to I watch the way the people vote. And if you follow the votes and what Barack Obama has supported, he has supported imploding the Constitution of this country, to which you and many others have not only fought for, but many others are no longer with us for that fighting.
Yeah.
Well, that situation, how we could be so dumb. Not only that, just seeing all these people at his reelection rallies.
Yeah, yeah. And right now he's at a fundraiser at this very moment. Let me go ahead and answer Cemetery's deal here. Cemetery says in the chat room, so running a club in the United States is the same thing. I think my new friend here, Mind Cemetery, who is new in the chat room, is missing my point here. The point is leadership. And a leader, you know, I have been around them all my life. Silver Star winners, Medal of Honor recipients, warriors, men, real, I mean, just plain down and dirty, real men, leaders of men. I don't care if it's a nightclub or if you're digging a hole in a cemetery. If you're the boss, Cemetery, you don't blame the person who came before you. You take the job. You do the job. You do the best you can, and you don't make excuses. And you don't go around blaming the weather, tsunamis, the crows flying the wrong way, my dog ate my homework, George Bush, and more George Bush, the Congress, his wife didn't lay him right the night before. I mean, how pathetic is it when a grown man is blaming everyone else? Here he is, the President of the United States of America, the most powerful country on earth, and he's the president, and he's blaming everyone. And everything, he's blaming inanimate objects. I mean, outright blaming. It's not even oblique. It's not even thinly veiled or disguised. He's outright blaming inanimate objects. Things that aren't even alive. It's pathetic. And I'll tell you one more thing, Mind Cemetery. I'm a grown man. And any man who comes to me and blames anybody for anything when they have the job is not a real man to me. People are not blaming Clinton for anything. You know what? I tell you what, Cemetery. I voted for Bill Clinton the first time around until he screwed me with all that lying and whoring. I don't dig that sort of thing. But I tell you what. Bill Clinton was a pretty good president. He did some pretty good things. He was a fair president. Hell, he was even better than my main man, George Bush. He was a better president than him. I believe so. Nobody's blaming Bill Clinton for anything. Certainly, George W. Bush, who occupied the Oval Office after Clinton, did not blame Clinton for anything, anything at all. Nobody's blaming Bill Clinton for anything except screwing somebody else's wife or fondling some little girl or stealing somebody's wallet or lying about something or fondling somebody's dog. You know, that's what they're blaming him for. Nobody's blaming Clinton for anything. So, you know, enough with that. I mean, that's just not right. This president, this skinny little wimpy little president, is blaming everybody for everything. When you blame the weather, the weather for a bad economy, that's just damn low. That's low. That's sick. What do you think, Mike?
Well, you can't blame the weather on preventing Texas from becoming energy efficient themselves. They wanted to do it. Barack Obama prevented it. As a matter of fact, America was trying to build more refineries, and all of a sudden it becomes impossible. But out of Brazil, what do we have? We have all kinds of tax breaks and incentives. Doc, even your best Obama person, with slick words, with a beautiful smile, shaking hands and kissing babies, can't back themselves out of this one, my friend.
No, no doubt. No doubt. And that brings us back to what we were talking about earlier. Independence now. Well, number four on our list, independents are deserting the president. Speaking of Bill Clinton, in contrast to Bill Clinton, who moved to the center after the emphatic Republican smackdown of the House and takeover of the House of Representatives in 1994, Barack Obama has shown little, if any, inclination to do so. No, none. This is a rigidly ideological president with a distinctly left-wing vision and agenda. And unsurprisingly, independents have been deserting Obama in droves, a huge cause for concern for the White House as it looks to November 2012. In fact, dude is going to copy. He's going to go on a bus tour. He's going to ride a bus and make his case. But what case can he make? Mind Cemetery, I would like for you to call in 347-884-8500 and talk about what case can Barack Obama make on this ill-advised bus tour that he's going to be going on in just a few weeks after he finishes his next golf game and goes on vacation a couple more times. Are you an independent, cool Mike, or are you a conservative?
Well, no, I'm a pure conservative. I'm an independent as far as who I vote for, but I will not vote for anyone who is not a conservative. I won't vote for the lesser of two evils. I will not. I vote conservative, period.
Yeah. I see. Well, in the chat room, we have our good friend GDT. Some folks are blame Bill Clinton for 9/11. I myself do not blame Bill Clinton for 9/11. I blame the fact that we have had at one point an intelligence apparatus where it's like a rivalry. Like, for example, the United States Marine Corps is in a serious rivalry with the Navy and with the Air Force and with the Army. The Army is in a serious rivalry with the Navy and the Air Force and the Marine Corps, and on and on and on and on. We don't communicate. We did not at that time communicate with each other as effectively as we could have, because we all wanted to have the lion's share of the credit. We wanted the big budget. We wanted to get the new toys. And so we wanted to make ourselves look good at the expense of the other service. Well, that's exactly what you had in the Clinton years, which is not Clinton's fault because it's still going on today. You had one service that wouldn't share information with the other service. There were territories. There were pissing contests. Everybody had their own territory, like gangs. That's exactly how the government works. I worked for the government for 30 years. I know exactly what's going on. I still work for them. So that's not a president's fault. Now we have Mind Cemetery on with me and Cool Mike. Cemetery, talk about it.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you?
Not bad, not bad. Yeah, I just randomly stopped in because I was looking under... I'm just into, you know, what happened today at the markets and all that kind of stuff, seeing if everybody's talking about it.
Well, I do appreciate you calling in, but we either have a Skype connection on my end or a really bad connection on your end.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure. There's a lot of static and feedback.
Okay.
Mike, do you hear that?
No, I hear everything really good. Sounds like a cemetery's talking like from a background, but no, I can still hear him.
Oh, okay.
I don't hear any
great.
Static at all.
You okay?
Great. Then go ahead, Cemetery. It must be me.
Let me mute my mic and let's see if it's me. I'll mute myself.
No, it's not you.
Okay.
Cemetery, would you mind calling back and just
yes,
redialing sir. Again? Maybe that'll work out better.
Because yes,
I would at least like to hear what you have to say.
Yes,
okay.
Well, you know, Doc, you can actually, we can blame 9/11 going probably as far back as the 67 Middle East crisis. You can't. It's like when they were trying to blame George Bush for Hurricane Katrina. You cannot. When a crime is committed, it's those criminals who are at fault. You can't blame. You can't blame bank robbers on the. Well, if the economy's so bad, they're forced to rob a bank.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, it's the mentality of the morons in this world that would justify, that would argue the point that you were just stating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've got Craig on the line. You're exactly right. Craig's on with C. Robert Jones, Human Service Report.
Hey, what's up, Doc?
Hey, Craig. What's going on, man?
Not much. Good show. Excellent show. Excellent
Thank
show.
You.
But
hey,
yeah, how we doing, Mike?
Doing good.
Good. I was in the middle of calling in. Do we still have Mind Cemetery on, or?
No, I asked him to call right back because
oh, okay.
I'm getting some really bad static in the background.
Oh, okay. All right. No. That's, so no, I was going to comment on Clinton. You know, I agree that Clinton dramatically contrasts with Obama, and it's most apparent when you look at when we were going, you know, through these budget issues, you know, back with Newt, and you had Obama in the same position as Clinton here, only we were talking about the raising of the debt ceiling, but it was still budgetary. And you had Clinton who, wasn't his optimum position, but he ended up striking a very productive deal with Newt and the other conservatives, and that allowed Clinton to reap the benefits from the Reagan administration and went out on a very high note budgetarily. You know,
yeah.
Regardless of you know, we all know that he had intentions. If he had the ability, he would have instituted much more liberal policies, but because he took a leadership role, he went against some of his ideology and ended up with a very economically productive presidency. But you take Obama, who had, you know, sort of that, came to that same crossroad and virtually about the identical time frame in his presidency here, and we see the road that he took. And he is playing the blame game. And, you know, the difference is that those issues that were listed there in the chat room are factual policies that Clinton owns and decisions that Clinton owns.
Mm-hmm.
Obama is just trying to deflect any type of ownership of his failed policies. That is the difference. And this is all of his... his entire rally crowd or whatever you want, you know, all of his supporters, you know, this is what happens. And I think that the Clinton administration to me is a good reflection of the intelligence which comes from, you know, independent conservatives who lean to the conservative right side. We have the ability to acknowledge not only the failures of the Clinton administration, but a lot of those high points that you
yeah.
mentioned earlier and the ones that I did. You know, we take a step back and make the best analysis for the good of the country, not the good of a party necessarily.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Sorry. A little long-winded there, but try to put that together. So.
No, I got it. I got it. It makes perfect sense. I dig it. What do you think about that, Mike? Do you have anything to add to that? Well, Mike must have had to go to the potty. He'll be back.
I'm curious. we didn't get Mine Cemetery back yet, or did we?
No. He's here right now. We'll go ahead and bring him on right now. Mine, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. Oh, that
better?
sounds so much better. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. Yeah. So where are we at, I guess?
Well, we were talking about the Clinton years and how pretty much Clinton got some fallout from my main man Ronald Wilson Reagan's good stewardship of the country as president.
Okay.
Do you not agree?
I don't know. I mean, life was pretty good in America under Reagan, that's for sure. That can't be denied. There's a lot of, like, I know I hate to keep beating a dead horse calling it rewriting history, but I think there's a lot of forgetfulness when it comes to how many times taxes were actually raised under Reagan, and don't want to remember that part of his name. It's fine, you know.
Yeah.
People want their garages.
Yeah, can I speak to that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Craig.
All right. Yeah, obviously, and let's take a look at the Reagan administration. You know, during the Reagan administration, early on, you had unemployment in excess of 10.5%. You had much higher levels than we have been faced with during this time period, in this recession. And it is a fact that Reagan did not only lower taxes, but you had taxes being raised. And that is something I've spoke to many times, that, you know, if you are a believer in supply side economics and you believe in Reagan economics, which is supply side economics, and you believe in the Laffer curve and you believe in what Reagan did economically, then you also do understand that there are certain times that it's not always about lowering taxes. As the Laffer curve can dictate a lowering taxes, there are certain points in an understanding that there are times that you unfortunately do need to raise taxes, which is not the conditions we're in now. And George W. Bush had absolutely nothing to do with Reagan economics. The only thing that he instituted of the four parts of supply side economics is that he lowered taxes. He did not lower spending. He did not protect the dollar. You know, all that he did is lower taxes. That's it. There's nothing. There's no Reagan economics in that. That's merely lowering taxes. That's not a true economics policy. There is follow through that goes along with lowering taxes, and there's also an acknowledgement that certain you should be raising taxes. Because it's dictated by that Laffer curve. So if you believe in supply-side economics, you believe in the Laffer curve, you believe in Reagan economics, there are certain times that you, like right now, we should be looking at why we have a form of welfare embedded within our IRS. In actuality, we should be looking at why you have 42% of individuals with a negative tax liability who get refunds in excess of what they pay to pay in taxes. Now, do I think that, you know, the first thing we should do is look at zeroing that out, okay? Let's make the 50% that don't make taxes, let's at least bring that up and quit giving welfare checks on the backside of taxpayers. That is raising taxes, because you would be raising taxes on the bottom half.
That don't really make anything, though.
Excuse me?
Or if they're lucky to even have a job.
Excuse me?
You want to raise taxes on the lowest income bracket?
No, I want to stop the negative tax liability. 42% of Americans get a welfare check from the IRS. That is what it is. They
just
pay in.
Tax.
Excuse me?
Just cut out their tax return.
Yeah, you would be right. They currently have a negative tax liability. So you, by taking that negative tax liability, and if you would just zero that out by stopping the ability for earned income credit, which is where a majority of this negative tax liability comes from, if not all of it, whereas you can utilize the earned income tax credit to take your tax liability to zero, but you stop that negative. You have individuals who are barely paying $1,000 or $1,500, getting a check from the IRS in the amount of $5,000 to $6,000 due to earned income credit. That makes absolutely no sense. That's welfare. That's a glorified welfare program.
Okay.
I mean, does that make sense to you? Are you supportive of individuals?
Of course I'm not.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. That is where we should be looking at, and that would be raising
taxes.
Well,
the IRS needs a lot of reforms on multiple levels, one of which being is to abolish it completely and institute a federal sales tax. I would love to see nothing more than that. Let's get a piece of that immigrant pie that doesn't come to us. Number one.
Yeah, and I'm a supporter of that, but you know, I was just merely speaking to the issue of taxes. You were talking about Reagan of raising taxes, and that doesn't go beyond my scope and understanding. I firmly understand the dynamics of the Reagan administration, and a lot of conservatives do, and we don't forget. A lot of people forget we had much worse unemployment situation under Reagan than we did, but because he was the ultimate leader and governed with sanity, we were able to take that downturn and turned it into a very lucrative economic situation in the United States. And then George W. Bush, through his spending and his economic policies, orchestrated the start of which Obama has been essentially carrying out the ultimate destruction of our economy. So
yeah,
go ahead.
No doubt.
Okay.
No doubt.
I see a lot of correlations with the United States that Reagan inherited and the United States that Obama inherited, especially when it comes to the unemployment rate.
No. There was
no all you want, but the employment rates pretty much were mirrored.
No, you see, you missed. I guess what I was talking about, the economic conditions that Reagan did inherit.
You said a lot of things, and I listened to all of them, and I would like a chance to retort.
No, go ahead.
He did lower taxes, Reagan, and he also increased them when necessary because he knew and he saw and he had the foresight and the decisiveness enough to say, "Hang on a minute, my tax cuts shortchanged them, so now I have to jump them up." So he went back and forth with that a few times, as needed and should have been done, okay? And he can't be ridden off rails because of it, you know? But I think a lot of the Obama problem is his indecisiveness and his want and need to compromise. And in the end, that compromise has gotten him even more economic policies, and in the end, I feel like there are a lot of people on the right side of the chamber that, as soon as they get done doing their policy and compromising, run away with it and say, "Oh, Obama's policy is garbage," and then exonerate them from anything, you know, when they were the ones that jumped in it. When Boehner and Obama were negotiating, Boehner went back to the Tea Party with some tax increases. Obama gave Boehner his cuts. Boehner gave him his tax increase. A little give and take there. Boehner went back to the Tea Party, and Tea Party told him to stick it. And next thing you know, Obama said, "Okay, you can have what you want." And as soon as he passes it, it turns into a train wreck of a economic policy, which it is now. It's out of control. It's a crazy train. You know, the ball was rolled down the hill, and Obama that ball size exponentially, without a doubt.
So the Tea Party in your analysis would be that the Tea Party is destructive in nature to the good of the nation?
No. The Tea Party is what they are, and they are a set of ideals in the conservative Republican wing that I think majority of the conservative party gets tied to.
That didn't answer my question at all. So do you think that the Tea Party is a positive influence then?
In some aspects, yes. In some aspects, no.
Okay. What are some of the good aspects in your
the good aspects
opinion?
They do stand for the pillars of conservative politics that they should, and there is a place for that in America, and a want for that kind of staunch position.
Okay, like what? Like what? I mean, we got time. Let's talk in complete thoughts. Like what? What do they stand for that you agree with?
Absolutely against any kind of tax increase for anyone at any level of income. Mm-hmm. The stance on abortion, without a doubt, take it out of anyone's hands. Make the state decide that it should be against the person's right to decide that.
Mm-hmm.
These are the same people that argue against big government, by the way, for the death penalty. I think those are the two big ones I come up with off the top of my head.
Okay, all right. So what are the downsides of the Tea Party policy?
The downside is ability to compromise.
Excuse me?
Their inability to compromise and their ability to rally against those in their own party that do compromise.
That's a negative?
Yes.
Okay, so...
It's a negative in the America that wants to have people work together.
That wants to have people work together. Okay, here's the problem with that touchy-feely crap, okay, and compromise. Compromise is what got us to 2011, okay? Here is the biggest point that you just avoided and didn't want to talk about, which is the most important aspect of the Tea Party and one of the... true pillars of that of the Tea Party movement, which is spending, which you completely ignored. So how do you feel about spending?
Not knowing about the Tea Party, it's not because I didn't want to touch on some sort of Tea Party third rail.
I'm just asking you what about the spending? Do you believe in the out of control spending?
Of course I don't.
Okay, so
no one does with a right mind.
Right. So. And that's really the basis of the Tea Party and the influence. That's what they rally around is spending.
That Obama gave them and the tax increases that are needed on certain income brackets. Matthew, with the war on whatever it is, I forgot what it's called.
Do you think that we need, what tax brackets do we need to increase spending?
Yeah, there you go. The upper class, of course, needs to be taxed more. You know, the ones making over $1 million.
That's what you believe?
And get rid of those loopholes at the bottom and tie that up.
But that's what you believe, that we need to raise taxes on the higher tax brackets at this point in time?
Yes, those quote-unquote job creators that haven't been creating jobs because they've been sitting on the money.
What is, in the 2011, what are the income levels of the federal government for the 2011 budget?
I don't know. You tell me.
2.65 trillion dollars, okay? $2.65 trillion dollars income, okay?
Okay, so that's the IRS is planning on taking in this year.
Excuse me?
Is that what the IRS is planning on taking in this year?
That's the income levels for 2011, for the fiscal year 2011. We're currently going to be working on 2012 budget. But for the 2011 budget, the income estimates were $2.65 trillion dollars, okay? You have the Department of Defense, $700 billion. You have Social Security, $765 billion, roughly. And you have, for Medicare, you have roughly $450 billion, I believe. But all in all, we can cover our bills. We could. Look.
Yeah, we could.
We do not have an income issue. Okay? There's not an income issue.
No, you're absolutely right, Craig. We could cover all our debts and even almost all of the other expenditures with what's coming in. Raising taxes isn't even necessary.
Huh.
And I wonder what's really behind this whole idea of wanting to raise taxes on those so-called wealthy people, the
because
job creators.
Because it is class warfare. It is textbook. Let me finish and you can respond. Let me finish and you can respond.
That's not a lot
it is class warfare. It is classic.
Hold on, mind.
Progressive.
Hold on, mind. Let Craig finish and then you take the floor and take it home.
Class warfare is the hinge pin of the progressive movement. And if you don't think that Obama is a progressive, then I would urge you to pick up a few of his own books and really connect the dots on what type of individual he is. And the progressive movement hinges on this class warfare. And a lot of these, not just the progressive movement, but any socialistic outlook movement for the United States hinges on this class warfare of, yeah, we need to be mad at corporations. We need to be mad at the wealthy. When in fact, the one thing I do disagree with, Doc, is that we do need to have a tax increase on the bottom to close that welfare payment because we have got to stop this influx of individuals being dependent upon the government because another hinge pin, another dynamic part of advancing a progressive agenda is having individuals reliant upon the government for their sustenance. And when you have individuals... I'm sorry.
Hold on. Let mine get in here before we forget what...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
I'm in total agreement in locking up that loophole of earned income credit in the tax at the bottom. Mm-hmm. I think you should raise that to at least 25,000-30,000 combined households. You know, jump it up a little bit there, not just give it out to everybody that makes under that much. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Complete agreement there. That's an insane loophole in the IRS and isn't mm-hmm. unreasonable to agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But when we start talking about this war on,
class warfare.
Yeah, there we go. The class warfare thing. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying, I make under $100,000 under the $250,000 limit, and I live very comfortably. I have not one want in the world. I have not one care when it comes to money. Just imagine mm-hmm. how that is for people that make over $250,000. And I know plenty of people in the same position, me in the same bracket,
mm-hmm.
that have no mm-hmm. wants. Now, raising the income on these so-called job creators, again, and I put the rabbit ears up because they have not created these jobs, and
mm-hmm.
doing a class warfare
mm-hmm.
and saying that people need to hate
corporations. Okay, they have created jobs. They have created
hold on,
jobs.
Hold on, Craig.
Sorry.
Go ahead and finish, Terry.
These
corporations in America that took your jobs overseas to Mexico and China and left no production left in America, left no living wages for Americans, and gutted the middle class and the lower class to be mm-hmm. nothing more than service people. Making a little more, around $10 an hour. Right? So when you're talking about giving those corporations tax breaks and incentives, they've gotten those tax breaks and incentives, and what did they do with it? Put it in their pocket and tell you about record profits for the quarter. And that's another problem that a lot of corporations have is they think about quarterly and yearly. There's no big picture in America anymore. It's all about your quarterly profits and your stock points. And those people on the board, as long as that stock goes up and we get to mow a few heads down at the same time to make my stock go up, they'll do it. So, in the Clintons' blaming game, hindsight told us NAFTA was absolutely miserable for us all. Absolutely miserable for America and put us in a hole.
All right, Craig?
Okay, that is a complete fallacy. A majority of the reason for the stagnant unemployment figures, if you go in and actually dissect and analyze the jobs numbers, you will see that the private sector has been attempting and is doing the a halfway decent job given the conditions of adding jobs. You had private sector adding 155,000 jobs last month. The decrease, because I'm going to go ahead and finish like you were able to finish. I apologize for interrupting you earlier. 155,000 jobs were added last month. They have consistently been adding jobs in the private sector. The downturn is stemming from state and local governments having the public sector jobs decreasing. Last month, I will grant you that a large, roughly, I believe it's 20 to 25% of the public sector job decreases because of what was it, Minnesota or Wisconsin? God, I'm having a blank here. I think it was Minnesota had their government shut down. So about 25% of that is accounted for by the Minnesota government shutdown. So the private sector is showing the ability and the want to, the private sector wants to continue to make profits. And if we do not have a private sector that's profit-driven, then you are not going to see any growth. It is absolutely of no consequence who is having record profits. You should want American companies to be showing productive. I mean, you should be happy. You have been led to this thought that for some reason, because a company is showing record profits, that they are evil. That is just ludicrous and insane. You should not want more. You should not be seeking higher corporate taxes. You should be a proponent of lower corporate taxes, because the only thing that corporate taxes do is increase the cost of the goods and services of a company. Of that $2.65 trillion, corporate taxes accounted for $300 billion of that revenue. That would be much better spent. I am a proponent of eliminating the corporate tax and taxing the incomes of the individuals that work for the corporation, because that is another thing. If you would eliminate that corporate tax, there is nothing that would get those jobs back home faster.
Craig, please give me a moment. Let Cemetery respond to some of that if he chooses.
Well, I mean, it's just a philosophical difference between the two of us at this point, because, you know, you're obviously for rewarding companies that don't want to employ Americans in America, and you'd love to see their tax rates drop to the floor so they can continue to make profits and shoved in a bank in the Cayman Islands. So that's okay.
All right, Craig?
No, I am just a proponent of freedom in an unobtrusive government. Federal government, period.
And so hungry and some heads get mowed over, we're fine.
Listen. See, I have the intelligence to wrap my brain around the fact that corporations have no sworn duty to me. Okay? They have a duty to their shareholders. Okay? A legal duty, a contractual obligation to create as much of a return on its shareholders' investment. And when you have the government intertwined with corporations, you actually have seen the destruction of that with GE, and where they took that stock down to roughly $2 and some per share at some point because they were so intertwined with government policy. You have GM, where you had bondholders screwed because of the entanglement with the federal government. But you had Ford in the same situation, who chose to take the higher ground, protect its bondholders, protect its shareholders from having their pockets picked by the president and his administration. And now you see Ford flourishing of their own accord. And if you want to bring jobs home, then you have got to get a handle on the tax issues, because there are other countries where they're seeking about a 12 to 15% tax rate, and that's why our jobs, that's one of the reasons. Our federal government, the individuals that we elect in Washington and to our state and local government, have the obligation to us, not corporations. And it has been the failure of the federal government to negotiate trade agreements with these foreign countries that are in the best interest of the United States, that have created the conditions which made sense economically for private sector corporations to take jobs overseas. If our federal government would stand up and make trade agreements which are in the best interest of the United States, then you would close down the ability for corporations to make the decision because it would not make economic sense. Our corporations make decisions based on economics. GE is an example of what happens when they don't.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. Oh, boy.
All right, Doc.
I remember America. Sure, you can still find it on a map, but nobody older than 20 thinks this is America. Even if coordinates are the same, we've lost our compass. You don't have a direction without reference, the true north. For America, it was liberty. When we lost the love of liberty, our understanding of liberty, it was just a matter of time before the rest of it was lost. Some think it started when the auto companies were nationalized, or the police state to control the internet, or when certain companies couldn't fail because their relationship with politicians made them too big to fail, and the rest of us, without political influence, were too small to succeed. Sure, that all happened pretty quickly, over just a couple of years, but liberty had been gradually devolving for decades. Some of the more astute, like Ayn Rand, saw it about 50 years before others. She warned us, but people didn't believe it could happen here until it did. Laws had been used to loot productive individuals and businesses, but in the new millennium, under Bush and Obama, graft, corruption, and crony capitalism were no longer hidden behind closed doors. The looters and their laws came out of hiding like rabid animals that were no longer afraid of humans. It was brought into the spotlight, and it was celebrated as enlightened economic policy. Ayn Rand asked the question, and Atlas shrugged that the rest of us were asking 60 years later, which failing financial institution will the administration pluck from the flames of crisis? Let roast. Which market or investment technique will the regulators bless, and which, in a capricious change of rules, will it condemn or outlaw? As John Galt said in his radio address,
you decided you had a right to your wages, but we had no right to our profits. You called it selfish and cruel that men should trade value for value, but you've now established an unselfish society where they trade extortion for extortion.
People who had never produced or managed anything tried to manage every aspect of our lives, and they brought production to a standstill. And eventually, they decided to micromanage the food supply in the name of fairness and safety. And we all know what happened then. Fiction can be a powerful influence, for good or bad. It's too bad more people didn't read Atlas Shrugged. They might have realized where this was heading.
Why is Ayn Rand's great novel Atlas Shrugged a bestseller today, more than half a century after it was written? It's because our real world today is just like the fictional future that Rand foresaw in Atlas Shrugged. It's a time of crisis and decay, but it's also a world of innovation and achievement. It's a world of heroes and villains, driven by very different philosophies. We wrote I and John Galt to tell their story. We look at the heroic innovators who are building our world and show that they're doing it just like the heroes of Ayn Rand's novel. They're using her philosophy, capitalism, reason, objective reality, self-interest. Who is John Galt? Meet John Allison, the mild-mannered Southerner who created one of America's great banking empires. He did it with Ayn Rand's philosophy by getting every one of his tens of thousands of employees to read Atlas Shrugged and live by his philosophy. In the great financial crisis of 2008, his bank was about the only one that didn't need government bailout. But the government forced Allison to take TARP money anyway. After that, Allison walked away, just like John Galt. There's so many other Rand heroes in our midst. There's Bill Gates, the genius who built the world's greatest company, the world's greatest personal fortune, only to have his own government call him a criminal for succeeding too much. Isn't he just like Hank Reardon from Atlas Shrugged? And how about Steve Jobs, the brilliant entrepreneur who reinvented computers, movies, music, telephones? He's got the same attitude toward life as Howard Roark from Rand's other great novel, The Fountainhead. Build it? I don't care if they come. You'll meet some real-life Rand villains in our book, too. The parasites who are trying to destroy the world. Remember Wesley Mooch from Atlas Shrugged, the corrupt bureaucrat who destroyed the economy? That's Congressman Barney Frank, who spent years subsidizing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the name of altruism. When Fannie and Freddie nearly wrecked the U.S. housing market, what did Frank do? Just like Mooch, he demanded wider powers. and you'll meet Paul Krugman, the rabid partisan pundit who spreads socialism from the pages of the New York Times and thinks nothing of using the power of the press to destroy his political enemies. He's Ellsworth Tooley, the scheming, dwarfish newspaper columnist straight from the pages of the Fountain. These are some of the worst villains. So who's John Galt? I am. You can be too. Read our book. Find out.
He's a private investigator.
All right, we're back with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. We have 9 minutes left. I am John Galt, and I remember America. Two of my favorite bumpers here on Blog Talk Radio. I recommend the book, I Am John Galt, highly. I recommend the reading of Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. I recommend it all. It all talks about what's going on today. Especially Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged, which was written in 1957, or rather published in 1957, and speaks to exactly what's going on here with this administration to this very day, this very evening. Barack Obama's poll numbers dropping. Moderates leaving in droves. Even some liberal newspapers and blogs are suggesting that the president is too weak and that he should step down and that, he's just not cutting it. There's even talk of a challenger, a liberal challenger for Barack Obama. What do you think about that, Craig? Have you heard anything?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
A liberal challenger for Barack Obama, given the idea that is going around after this weekend that Barack Obama is weak and that he is... His poll numbers are dropping. Party has been a stunning success, according to some. Conservatism is growing stronger in America by the day. Obama's out of touch. He's considered to be out of touch, even by most liberals. This whole let them eat cake mentality projected by this White House. While many Americans are out of work, living on food stamps, Obama is partying like a rock star. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, I honestly foresee it. I mean, there have been so many parallels between the Carter administration and Barack's administration. You've seen Ted Kennedy. That's when he made his run. So, I don't think it's unforeseen. But any of the, individuals that would really come to mind, I think that because of the atmosphere, I think that they're going to let Barack fall on his sword, and they're going to find it more appealing to make their run in 2016, just because of, I mean, it's going to be so hard for any liberal, because of what you mentioned about the movement towards conservatism, and it's not that these are new thoughts, it's just that you have the independents making through the Tea Party, they've latched on to that and have become more fervent on their conservative values.
Yeah, Cemetery, what do you think?
I think the train wreck, whoever steps into that position, it has to take over for this for the problems in America right now. Quite frankly, it's just going to be a bigger
hit. Now, Cemetery, are you a conservative or a independent or what?
Oh, I would not think they're liberal.
Okay. All right.
Sometimes when I call up some other shows in the local area, I call myself the wacko.
Okay. All right.
What do you find appealing of that?
Of this?
Of that position. What part of that liberal movement appeals to you?
It's going to be hard to draw a hard line between what makes appealing to me and socialism, to be honest with you. I think it's the government's job to do a lot of things.
Socialism appeals to you? Is that what you said?
Some aspects of it, yes.
Yeah. You know,
who have a decent job and actually work their entire lives uh-huh. have the ability to have a roof over their head and uh-huh. have nothing.
But if you remove the classes from our society, then what are people? What benefit does that bring to anybody? What are you then working for?
I am picking and choosing. I'm cherry picking the tenets of socialism that appeal to me, and I'm not uh-huh. saying it's going to be hardcore one way or the other.
Okay. Yeah. So, but you would agree that socialism is not something you get your feet yeah. wet. I mean, once you move into socialism, it's socialism. There's no in-between there.
I understand that we're running in that direction, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think
I don't like it, and I understand that if we stand...
Well, I don't like it any more than you, either. Okay, I'm a fan of my guns, you know, and I go against the tenets that a lot of liberals stand staunchly on, and that's where I draw the line, even with that, and turning my gun on them. You know, I like to keep my money in my paycheck, you know, and I like
right, and all of that contradicts the liberal movement. So I we'd love to have you. We would. So,
I know. See,
indeed.
I'm not trying to screw you against us. I'm just asking the questions because it intrigues me. So.
I know it does. I'm an anomaly to a lot of people on the right. Mm-hmm. I understand that. You know, just saying I'm a liberal.
Right.
Oh boy, you know, here we go again.
That's fine, you know, and I understand that.
Right.
There's not all bad things that you guys stand for out there, and that I'm for a lot of things you talk about. Yeah, I'm a financial conservative, social liberal, okay? And those are a big tent for me to go under those ideas, you know?
Yep.
We're
All right, we have another call on the line, a 111 call. I'm not sure if it's a Skype call or not. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. You got 35
seconds.
This is a
gunslinger, 1964.
Gun, what's up, man? Good to have you.
No, not much. Except the heat in Texas is pretty up.
Yeah.
I just want to make a quick comment about the corporations. Okay, you have to understand that a corporation is a fiction. It does not exist under law. It only exists on paper. Okay, and this is how these idiots protect themselves. They set up a corporation. That's what LLC stands for, Limited Liability Corporation. Gee whiz! Mm-hmm. Go try to sue a city, or better yet, go try and sue the federal government. You're not going to get
that. That's not that's not why they get that, though.
Well, it doesn't matter, because
that's not how they get that protection.
That's why they did it, because they can protect them, mm-hmm. protect them from us.
Not because it's a corporation. Incorporation does is all that it does is protect one's personal assets, short of fraud. You should not want the ability to sue people as individuals when they're conducting business. That's for the benefit of the community. The immunities that are granted to government officials have nothing to do with the incorporation status. You can sue the city, but you should not be able to sue. Why would you want the ability to sue, for instance, your mayor, for an individual to bring a lawsuit against your mayor? All that you're going to do is inhibit individuals. Now, if the mayor is guilty of fraud, but just carrying out the duties as mayor should not expose the mayor to personal liability. Okay.
All right,
just
folks,
like
we are. Hold on. I'm sorry. We are done for the night. We are out of time. 52 seconds left. As much as I'd like to go ahead and continue and get that information from Craig, we got to go. I want to thank everybody for calling in, for coming into the chat room. As I've said many times, you have so many things that you could be doing, but you come into my chat room, you come and listen to the show, and I so do appreciate it. Really, I do. And it's a lot of pressure on me when folks come into the chat room, call in, and listen to the show, because I want to put on a great show, because I know there's so many other things that you could be doing. So thank you so much for coming in. Thank everybody for listening. All the folks in the chat room has crashed. The Flash Player is done. We are out for the night. Thank y'all for being here. Everybody have a great night, and I'll see you on the other side. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for having me on.
Dream. All right.
To dream of once in a love the we